Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that had been lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. On the morning of 9/11/2001, Scott Strauss was on the train home when he heard over his Walkman that a plane struck the World Trade Center. As a detective with the Emergency Service Unit of the NYPD, he questioned how something like that could happen on such a beautiful day. Once he heard that a second plane hit the South Tower, he realized this was no accident. "Everybody in my unit knew where we had to be," Strauss said. He grabbed some clothes, said goodbye to his wife, and raced back to Manhattan. Assigned to a rescue team, Strauss reached the World Trade Center moments after the North Tower collapsed. For the next several hours, he joined in the arduous task of searching for survivors in what would be known as the pile. Early that evening, Strauss was notified that Port Authority Police Sergeant John McLaughlin and rookie officer Will Jimeno were found in the debris field. They survived the collapse of the towers, but were trapped 30 feet beneath the pile, injured and unable to escape. It was up to Strauss and his team to rescue them. The team began the perilous journey, crawling over hot steel and squeezing through narrow, smoke-filled places to reach the officers. It took more than 3 hours to pull Officer Jimeno to safety. Sergeant McLaughlin was rescued a few hours later. This is one of the many stories that was written and shared on the 9/11 Memorial website. Imagine the joy of the team finding these men, and not just finding them, but finding them alive. Imagine the joy of the families and friends of the people who thought these men were lost. Sadly, we know that many who were in the towers did not make it out. Many were not found. But it is still okay to feel joy for those who were found. Today's gospel lesson is about joy in finding and in being found. Jesus has told these two parables in response to hearing grumbling from those in power and authority in the church of his time. Jesus was once again spending just too much time with people he really shouldn't be hanging around, and the religious elite were not happy about it. He was seen by many to be a holy man of God, so hanging out and even eating with certain people caused a lot of discomfort. So who were these people in Jesus' time that should be avoided? These are people who were blind, people who had skin diseases, a woman during her monthly cycle. These were all considered ritually unclean and therefore should be avoided. Those who did activities interpreted as work on the Sabbath were sinners because they were not following the rules. Those people should be avoided. In some cases, the poor were thought of as sinners because they could not afford an animal for sacrifice. So they should be avoided. Not eating the correct foods was considered another sin because the dietary restrictions were part of the rules. So those people should be avoided. And the list could go on and on. All who fell into those categories and more were how the privileged decided who they would associate with and who they wouldn't. But Jesus never let other people's ideas of who was worthy cloud his understanding of who God considered worthy. Jesus truly stood in solidarity with the tax collectors, the outcasts, the lepers, the promiscuous, the hated, the poor, the lonely, the marginalized, everyone. And so, if Jesus gave such a welcome to all of these otherwise tossed aside human beings, it's no wonder that they followed him. It's no wonder that they became his disciples. It's no wonder that they loved him. He might very well have been the only person to ever show them love. Maybe the only person to ever accept them for who they were. Maybe even the only person to ever provide any type of human touch. For these people, there was profound joy in being found. Jesus was a gentle lover of all people and especially had love for those who were deemed unlovable by others. But this didn't fit with certain doctrines and belief systems, and it certainly didn't fit with the social norms of Jesus' time. Truth be told, it doesn't necessarily fit with the social norms of our time. But notice, when certain people in power were grumbling about Jesus eating with sinners and tax collectors, Jesus didn't disagree. He didn't argue and try to defend himself. But instead, he agrees. And he brings the point home by sharing these parables about finding and being found and the joy that results. Jesus emphasizes this joy when he ends each parable. In the first parable we heard, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. And then he reiterates this after the second parable. There is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. And this led me to ask, how does something that is lost equate to being a sinner? How does something that is found relate to being repentant? And to really understand this, to really get this, we need to know what repentance means to Luke, the writer of this gospel. In Luke, repentance is less about contrition and more about restoration. Restoration of the relationships of humans with other humans, and restoration of the relationship between humans and God. When we look at all that Jesus said and all that Jesus did, it is clear that his focus was always on restoring people and relationships to wholeness. In today's parable, we see God's grace in making this restoration possible on full display. The parables say nothing about how the lost became lost. They do not place any kind of blame. All that's important is the finding and the making whole. In his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, Philip Yancey writes, "I have meditated enough on Jesus' stories of grace to let their meaning filter through. Still, each time I confront their astonishing message, I realize how thickly the veil of ungrace obscures my view of God. A housewife jumping up and down in glee over the discovery of a lost coin is not what naturally comes to mind when I think of God. Yet that is the image Jesus insisted upon. End quote. God's grace is that God goes out to search for the lost and the sad, the lonely and the shunned, those at the margins. And this is what brings restoration, not self-hate or self-abasement, not even contrition, which is so often what we picture when we think of repentance. Further, God does not stop searching. No matter how bad people might feel about themselves, no matter how lost they might consider themselves, no matter whether other people have given up on them, God never gives up. This is how much you and I and everyone are loved. I read another story from the New York Times about the rescue dogs who went out after the 9/11 tragedy in search of survivors. There were hundreds of them, from little terriers that could squeeze into tight places to huge German shepherds and golden retrievers. The dogs and their handlers came from places nearby and from places far away, leaving behind those who were safe to search for those who were lost. One picture that really hit me was a golden retriever being transported out of the debris, carefully fastened to a rescue stretcher that is dangling from a heavy rope, and that rope connects the interior of the rubble to the outside. And I did bring that picture if you want to see it during coffee hour. Some of these dogs searched until they could search no longer because they collapsed from smoke inhalation or heat exhaustion. They were relentless, and they were beacons of hope and inspiration for many of the humans working in that rubble. So I'm going to add a little bit of imagery to the imagery that Jesus has used and provided for us in the parables. Jesus proclaimed that we have God who is like a shepherd, searching for that one lost sheep. God who is like a woman dancing up and down after finding her lost coin. And I will add, we have a God who is like that faithful rescue dog searching through the debris relentlessly. How blessed we are to have a God who does not stop reaching for us, so that we can live confidently, knowing that there is nothing that we could ever do that would cause God to turn away. Amen.